Blog Talk Radio.
He missed! Step up now! Look at him! He missed! And he won! They got us! Indiana got us!
Oh! Oladipo!
Ha ha! Fridell all the way outside to Watford. Three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game! Christian Watford with a three!
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana, yeah, we do it big. Boston on the big stand, you know what it is. Cause this is IU, you, you. This is IU, you, you. We have winners on the wall. And this is how we fall. Talking about the Hoosiers. Talking about the Hoosiers.
Unlike you at the school, we got history true. Kinda like your girl does when she visits me.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, where tonight Indiana defeats Michigan State 72-68, the first time a Hoosier team has gone into the Breslin Center and won since 1991. And I have to tell you, you know, there has perhaps been a more exciting game in the Tom Crean tenure, the Kentucky win. There's perhaps been a more consequential victory, the victory over VCU that sent us into the Sweet 16 of the tournament. I'm not sure there's been a more satisfying victory than tonight, from start to finish. Watching this game, how this team played, knowing the history of how much we've struggled in East Lansing, you know, really controlling the game for most of it, and then losing control there for just a bit when Michigan State went up 67-63. But then this Indiana team did what they've done all year, which is be poised in big games and big situations, and they went on a 7-0 run to wrestle the lead back, never gave it up, and they come away with a huge victory to move to 12-2 in the conference, 24-3 overall. You can probably hear in my voice how excited I am. This was just such an outstanding game from the Hoosiers in so many facets. And I've got to start off by lauding Victor Oladipo. I mean, the guy that we weren't even sure if he was going to play on Saturday after the Purdue game with that sprained ankle came out and did what he always does, which is make big play after big play in big games, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 5 steals, and so many key plays. The play late with Indiana up 1 where they're having trouble getting the ball in. He sees the opportunity, streaks to the bucket, and gets 2. You know, we talk all the time. We hear everybody talk about Victor's athleticism and you know, how many just all these great, spectacular plays that he makes. But people also need to realize that this guy is the ultimate gym rat and one of the smartest players in America. He is the most complete player in the country, and he is the best player in the country. And his performances like tonight that cement that. This guy is a leader in every sense of the word, and he led Indiana to this victory. It was a team win, no doubt about it, and we're going to talk about it here as we bring on Andy and bring on Ryan here in just a moment. But this game was just, it was the ultimate showcase for everything Victor Oladipo does well, because he made spectacular plays, but he also did the little things. His rebound put back late, making free throws, just making smart plays. He was spectacular, and he's the best player in America. And Indiana's the best team in America, no doubt, after tonight's victory. And, you know, I'm not sure right now you can even make an argument for anybody else. Okay, now I'm going to go take a breath, compose myself a little bit, and we're going to bring on Andy and Ryan and get their thoughts about tonight's game. We'll start out with Andy and get his bottom line on tonight's IU victory. Take it away, Andy.
Well, if you're looking for somebody who's regained their composure, I'm not sure you've come to the right place, but I may be your only other option, so I'll do my best. Obviously Oladipo is great. The thing that stood out for me was the seniors making plays, Watford and Hulls. You know, Christian came out. He seemed to be a little rattled at first by missing two of those three free throws in the first half, and then by the technical in the second. But Stepped up big, had that huge 3-point play when IU was down four down the stretch. And with him tonight, the one thing that stood out to me, and maybe this isn't something I watch as much, but I feel like it probably is, he was incredibly vocal in the huddle. You could tell toward the end of the game, very demonstrative with his teammates, and you could just tell really wanted this game, really, you know, he's had a couple big games there in his career so far, and you know, one of the games in which he broke his hand, and I think you could tell this game was important to him, and obviously the entire team. And I thought Hull's, you know, made a number of huge shots in the second half. Didn't play quite as much on the stretch as IU is going with a little more offense defense. But you know, obviously he makes 4 threes in the game, 4 of 6 from long range. You know, did some good things with the basketball, particularly when Yogi had 2 fouls in the first half. And I thought that was really key. So certainly in a situation, and this isn't to say anything, you know, negative about Verdell Jones or guys that departed last year. But the value of senior leadership from guys like that, that this team just hasn't had the luxury of having, based on everything that's happened, really came up big. And that's what you have to have in such a tough road environment. Even a guy like Elston coming off the bench and hitting a three. And I thought he gave really big minutes in the first half. And, you know, obviously didn't get a lot from the bench. The bench didn't play a lot. But definitely the thing for me tonight was the senior stepping up, and certainly a win in a season that they all deserve for everything they've been through.
Great points, Andy. All right, let's bring in Ryan. Ryan, I know you were watching the game at a Rockets IU bar, and I'm sure you're just excited as the rest of us, man. What were your thoughts on tonight's victory?
I actually left the bar early to make sure that I got here early for this call, got here on time for the call. But I got to say, there was a tweet out just a couple minutes ago from Ken Bickoff, and it said that only three current Indiana players were alive the last time Indiana won at East Lansing. That's Jordan Hull, Derek Elston, and Maurice Creek. And they just came away with a phenomenal win. I mean, there was every reason to wilt and let that game go away, whether it was, you know, some really awful officiating. And to be fair, there were some bad calls both ways, but it seemed like at the end of the game they all kind of tilted towards Michigan State, especially with that Cody Zeller, Derek Nix clearly smacking him below the belt and not getting the call. And there was every chance for IU to just kind of pack up the tent and go, look, we're not getting any calls, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. And, you know, we're on the road, it's a tough environment. They just came back and took the lead. But they didn't wilt. They fought back and they pushed back. And where they got punched in the mouth, they punched back. And that's something that has been missing from Indiana teams in the past. And even before Tom Crean got here, I'm talking, you know, early, mid-2000s, the team would just kind of wilt and be like, okay, well, we're not supposed to win on the road, so let's just pack it up and hopefully, you know, we'll get another chance some other time. And this team kind of realizes there's no other chances. You gotta take care of what's in front of you. And they did that tonight. And I think they surprised a lot of people by finishing that game off the way they did.
I agree. Now, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to go back to my favorite subject of the evening, which is Victor Oladipo, because I want to get your thoughts on him. And, you know, we all know that Dick Vitale is, you know, he can be somewhat annoying during the game, and, you know, I was kind of talking.
Wait a minute. Wait, what? What? No. No.
I'm breaking news here. But I will say, the one thing that Dick Vitale said tonight, and he's mentioned it in a previous broadcast, is that Victor Oladipo has improved over the course of his career more than any player he's seen in 20 years. And, you know, while Dickie V is prone to some hyperbole, I don't think that's hyperbole. I agree with him. Because, I mean, we remember, you know, the type of player Victor was when he came in and the type of player that he is now. And it's just been so remarkable to watch his growth and to watch the confidence that he plays with in big games like tonight. And, you know, a great tweet just went out from Zach Osherman. This might be the night we look back as the night Victor Oladipo won National Player of the Year, if not Big Ten Player of the Year. And so before we move on to other guys, you know, I talked a lot about Victor at the top of the show, but I want to get both of your guys' specific thoughts just on Victor overall as a player and specifically what he meant to the victory tonight. Because it's just, I mean, you know, I can't remember an IU player that I've watched that contributes in so many areas and does it so consistently in big games every time his team needs him to do it. Andy, you go first, and Ryan, I want to get your thoughts on Victor as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the kinds of things that it feels like we've seen all year. Every time they need a play, I mean, I think back even to, you know, the early part of the Big Ten season against Iowa with, you know, big offensive rebound at the end and a in a basket. And really, I mean, throughout the season, any time a big play needed to be made, he's really been the one to do it. You know, Michigan State gets up 60-59, and he creates that steal with about 6 minutes left and gets a dunk. And down the stretch, kind of looking through the play-by-play here, you know, he gets it seems like every play he has something to do with it. They miss, he gets the rebound. He gets the offensive rebound, he makes a basket. He, you know, makes the defensive play, you know, makes the free throws at the end, makes the dunk, you know, got the key rebound off of Harris's, you know, missed free throw. I mean, just every single time something big needed to happen, he's been there. And that's really been the case throughout the season. And I think, you know, your point about him, you know, being on display and that for everybody tonight who watched this game, I mean, while he was spectacular tonight, and I don't know how you compared, you know, games he's played this year to whether this is, you know, the best or not, but, you know, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 5 steals, played defense on, you know, probably 3 or 4 different guys over the stretch of the game, and just made such huge plays. And I think, you know, the improvement, while certainly I remember watching him and thinking, wow, he can be a really good rebounder and he was very athletic, I don't think any of us could have foreseen this. And just the way he's worked on his shot in particular, I think is what really stands out. I mean, he's worked on his ball handling as well. I think you look at those two things, that's really what has set him apart. I mean, this year people can't slack off of him outside. And before, you know, he was too loose with his dribble and guys were able to take the ball away or at least kind of, you know, push him offline to the basket a couple times tonight. I mean, he made the play where Gary Harris came out to hedge on a screen and he just shifted direction, split the gap and got to the basket. Just plays like that show how far he's come. Those are plays he simply couldn't have made as a freshman. And admittedly, IU didn't have a whole lot to back him up, even if he wanted to, but definitely another great performance for him on a big stage tonight.
All right, and Ryan, as we continue on here with the Victor Oladipo Appreciation Show, how about your thoughts on the best player in America?
You know, it's just so funny because it is such a huge change for a freshman. I mean, my dad used to text me, my dad who, when I went to Indiana, became the biggest Indiana fan you have ever met, so much so that I wrote a column about him for the IDS when I was a basketball columnist there. But he used to text me all the time, just Victor Oladipo is the most frustrating player in America, you know, and stuff like that. Just like, what is he doing? And can he learn to dribble and all these things? And it was true. It was almost like Victor Oladipo mentally, as a freshman and sophomore, was ready to be where he is physically now. He wanted to go to the hoop every time. He wanted to make the big play, to do all these things, but he just physically wasn't there yet with his ball handling and his shooting. He's completely changed his shot. I don't mean like his motion or anything. It's just that a lot of times when you have a super athletic guy, when they shoot, it's almost a two-part process where they jump and then shoot. With him, it was like that his first 2 years, and now this year, if you watch it, it's one smooth motion of a shot, and that's all from working in the gym and just working hard at it. And the guy that I look at that was the most like that ever was Jason Richardson of Michigan State. He was so athletic, and he jumped so high that it was almost like he had to jump and then shoot. And Victor was the same way for 2 years, and he just, through hard work, through sheer hard work, he's become a great jump shooter now. And he's worked on his finishing. I think his finishing was probably at a really high level last year. He just didn't get to the hoop enough because he couldn't get there with his dribbling. And clearly, again, ball handling isn't a natural thing. That's something you work on, and just like a shot. It's something you work on, and it's something that's honed. And so all these skills, that's what makes him even more attractive as a player, is it's not just a natural ability. It's all the things you have to work at to get better. And he's clearly done it and is the ultimate example of what hard work will do for a player. And he was a very nice lump of clay, but it was very unrefined, and now he's done the work to make himself the best player in the country. And I don't understand any argument. Some people are saying, oh, well, now Victor's he's definitely a candidate. No, he is the National Player of the Year. There's no question in my mind, you know, who the National Player of the Year is right now, unless something disastrous happens. It's him. He's won it. It's locked up. You know, it's amazing to see what he has been able to do in over the last 3 years and just how far he's come. It really is incredible, and it's a testament to his hard work, nothing else.
Agreed. Okay, so let's getting more into the nitty-gritty now of this game and how Indiana won this game. Because when you look at the statistics, you know, Michigan State out-rebounded on the Hoosiers 31-28. It wasn't a particularly great shooting night for Indiana. I mean, 44.3%, which, you know, isn't terrible against a team like Michigan State, but only 67% from the line. Only shot 15 free throws, whereas Michigan State actually made more than Indiana shot. Michigan State, 16 of 23 from the line. You know, the Hoosiers did limit turnovers, only had 10. You know, when you look at the box score, what jumps out to me, and Andy, I want to get your thoughts on this, is that for the second straight time these teams have played, Indiana really held Keith Appling in check. He was 1 for 8 tonight. He only had 6 points, only 2 assists. You know, coming into the season, you know, Indiana's ability to defend guards, particularly scoring guards, was supposed to be, you know, a potential problem area. Now, obviously, Yogi, I think, has been even better on defense than anybody thought. But, you know, Andy, as you look at a game like this, how was Indiana able to control Keith Appling again? I mean, and it wasn't just foul trouble this time because he only had one personal foul.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Yogi did a good job on him. And I thought he really just seemed to be, you know, he missed a couple free throws early. I don't know if that's what it was, but I just felt like he was really pressing, and whether that had to do with, you know, the way he played in the first matchup or whatever, he just, you know, I thought Yogi took him out of things early, and then he really pressed from that point forward. There were a couple times, and I forget who mentioned this, but there were the first couple times that Michigan State took the lead in the second half, he had turnovers that led to IU taking it right back. And I thought that's what really plagued him more. I mean, he had 4 turnovers. I just thought he, you know, didn't, obviously those numbers would back it up, didn't take good care of the basketball. And I don't know that he was one that really did a good job of getting him into what they wanted to do offensively. Certainly the kinds of things they were able to do with Knicks more so in the second half are what they wanted to do in the first. And I think he, you know, didn't get him into that and really thought he started to press a little bit. And quite honestly, I think he's, you know, struggling a little bit with how much Gary Harris has really emerged. I think that's something that maybe happened a little bit later than people thought because of some injuries. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's a case of, you know, he feels like he needs to lead the team in scoring, but, you know, Harris had another great game tonight, had 19, and, you know, continues to play at a really high level. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, other than Yogi getting into him early and forcing him into a few issues, that just kind of got in his head based on the other performances. But definitely huge to contain him again, and not because of foul trouble, which I didn't really foresee in this one anyway. So.
Hey, Andy, do you remember that one time Adrian Payne missed a three-pointer against us?
Barely. Yeah. It's like Craig Hodges out there all of a sudden. I don't understand what's going on. But, yeah, I mean, 6 of 7 against IU, 4 of 11 against everybody else. So 4 of 11 is not terrible, mind you. But the fact that he shot 7 of his 18 threes on the year against IU is pretty amazing. But I would have probably shot about 7 more had I made 6 of the first 7. So at least they managed to shut that off later in the game.
Yeah, I know. All right, now let's talk about Cody Zeller because we haven't talked about him. You know, and I thought early Cody played, you know, pretty well. He was aggressive. You know, he was taking it to the basket. He was finishing. You know, he kind of had a little bit of a lull there, but I thought he came back and played well then again at the end of the game. You know, finished with 17 points, you know, with 7 of 16 from the field. So it wasn't as efficient a game as we're used to seeing from Cody, but I don't necessarily know that that's a bad thing. I mean, I've seen – you know, many college basketball analysts who, you know, whose opinion I actually respect that think, you know, maybe his field goal percentage is almost too high, you know, because he's not quite aggressive enough. You know, whether you believe that or not, I don't know. But I liked his aggressiveness tonight. I liked how he was, you know, stepping out and shooting some jumpers, showing some range. You know, I thought he was up for the challenge of Knicks and Payne. You know, whereas, you know, we might have feared a little bit that, you know, that Cody would end up being a little bit of a wallflower in this game. He wasn't. He was in there in the middle of the action, you know, forcing the issue on offense. There was, you know, there was a play later on in the game when Indiana was struggling offensively. Cody demanded the ball, got it, scored, which was really nice to see. So I thought overall it was a really solid performance. You know, Victor was a spectacular one. I thought Cody was very solid tonight, you know, with his 17 points and his 5 boards. Ryan, give me your thoughts on Cody, and then I know that you want to talk about your moment of the game, so then follow up with that.
Yeah, I thought Cody definitely showed very well, and his performance tonight bodes well for IU in the future. It wasn't, like you said, Victor was the star, but I thought Zeller's play showed that he doesn't mind getting, you know, pushed around, and he's going to get bumped, and he's going to get hurt or hit, and he's going to, you know, have shots taken at him and things like that. That Knicks shot late, I mean, I look, if a guy did that to me in a basketball game, even if he's as big as Derek Nix, I'm throwing a punch. I might get crushed, but I'm throwing a punch because that was clearly a deliberate, you know, backhanded shot to the groin, and it was absolutely ridiculous they didn't call it. And the fact that Cody stayed composed after that, I mean, the fact that he could walk was amazing, but the fact that he stayed composed and came back and kept playing and was focused was really a testament to just the kind of guy he is. And sometimes, you know, he has that even-keel demeanor that is sometimes, you know, annoys me a little because I'd like to see him get fired up. But in this case, it worked, you know, in his favor. But, you know, he was 7 of 16. The fact that he shot 16 shots tells you he was trying to be aggressive. Now, he may not have made a high percentage, but he was trying to be aggressive. He was trying to get involved. He was trying to get fouled. He only shot 3 free throws and had 17 points. So that tells you that offensively, you know, he was really trying to get it done from the field. And I thought he played a very good game. He was active on defense. He had 2 blocks, 5 rebounds, you know, and just a very solid game. But this is the kind of game we need to have from him, even if he's not having, you know, a great night. He still needs to be able to get 15 points and, you know, at least 5 rebounds. And he had 17 and 5 tonight, which was great. And my favorite moment of the game was Derek Elston just walking on the floor, nailing a 3. Some people forget he shot like 55% from 3 last year. And I feel better about him firing one up than I do Will Sheehy. That's dang sure. But I just loved how he came off the bench, was throwing guys around in the paint, was getting in wars down low, and then he just walks on the offensive end, just fires a 3 with complete confidence. I thought that was great.
I love that immediately after that he was like clapping for the ball in the wing so he could shoot again. Nobody gave it to him, but he was ready to fire again.
You know what? It's great to see. I mean, there's so many things I love about this team, but I love when Elston gets out there and makes a 3 and when Creed gets out there and does something well. You know, it's just, God, this. Every time I watch this team, especially as this season goes on, I just think about how much fun they are to watch and how much we have to appreciate every game. I mean, we're into late February now. You know, this team has now played 27 games. I mean, we've got a few games left in the regular season, the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament, and this season is going to be over before we know it. You know, we're not going to, you know, be able to enjoy, you know, wins like this with this team anymore. It's just, you know, we got to savor every one of these wins because, man, this team is just so fun to play. And they, you know, here's my thought, Andy, and I want you to chime in because you look at this game statistically, and I mean, it's pretty much even. I mean, Indiana scored 1.03 points per possession, Michigan State at 1.01. You know, the rebounds are pretty even. I mean, everything is pretty even. And to me, the difference in this game is that one team is just a little bit more together and a little bit more mature. And in a game this close, you know, that can be the difference in giving one team a 3-4-point victory. You know, that's the type of team that usually makes the plays late, that can close out games like this. It's the kind of team Indiana hasn't had in a long time and that they have now, which is why this is such a fun team to watch. I mean, Andy, as you look at a game like this, is that the difference? And is that the kind of difference that can – that, I mean, because Indiana's probably going to have that kind of advantage over the majority of the teams they play from here on out, and that's the kind of thing that gives me a lot of confidence as, you know, we start, you know, playing, you know, we still have more games on the road in hostile environments, and there's going to be a lot of neutral site games, and I'm starting to gain a whole lot of confidence in this team's ability to come through in those tough situations.
Yeah, I think the thing that serves them really well is just the depth, that there's so many guys who can either create their own shot or make plays that, you know, you break the huddle, there's really not a clear-cut guy that Michigan State in this case or anybody knows who you're going to go to. I mean, they pretty much cleared out the side for Watford down 4, which is probably not the first thing that any of us would have had in mind for that play. You know, really Yogi off of a, you know, pick-and-roll situation tries to, you know, get to the basket, which leads to Oladipo's tip-in. So you have, you know, a variety of guys that at that point are, you know, Yogi, from an offensive standpoint, is the fifth option at that point. Watford is probably third or fourth, at least behind Zeller and Oladipo, and you've got those guys that are able to make shots and make big plays, or at least get to the basket and make things happen. And I think that makes them really hard to defend, and I think it gives Korean a lot of different options and, you know, late-game scenarios and things like that. I think, you know, the other part of it, you know, regardless of who's scoring or who gets the ball, I definitely think there's a lot to be said for you know, the kind of camaraderie or togetherness, whatever you want to call it, that this team has and has really built up over these last couple of years. You know, and some of these guys that have been there for as much as, you know, Zeller's been important and Yogi's been important. I mean, the other guys on this team that are playing big minutes have been together for at least 3 years, you know, for the most part. And I think that, you know, you kind of pay in dividends of that. You see, you know, you look around college basketball, you see a team like Miami, who nobody really expected to do a whole lot. They're a team that is full of seniors, and there's something to be said for that. So for as much as everybody loves to say, hey, look at Kentucky won with a bunch of freshmen last year, you know, they won with some veteran guys too that they wouldn't have been able to win the championship without. And I think, you know, it's easy to get enamored with the shiny new thing that comes to show up, but there's a heck of a lot to be said for, you know, these guys kind of building this relationship and teamwork up over the course of their careers at IU and now reaping the benefits of that.
I mean, Ryan, in this day and age of college basketball, you know, obviously the first couple of years of the Tom Green era were very tough to deal with, you know, but he was able in that first recruiting class to get, you know, some really solid players. I mean, Maurice Creek and Christian Watford were guys that were ranked, if I remember correctly, around 50th on the recruiting list. You know, Jordan Holes, you know, obviously was a little bit undersized, but a guy who could really shoot. You know, so you look what he was able to do there, and then to take those guys, then bring in Victor and Will, and have those talented players really kind of, you know, go through all those struggles early on, which, you know, humbled them but also made them hungry to win. Then you mix in the talent of guys like Cody Zeller and guys like Yogi Ferrell, and now, you know, what's kind of coalesced is this diamond of a basketball team that's been through all the pressure, you know, that was humbled early on, has all this experience, now has the talent added to it, and now, you know, last year they were able to win, get some big victories. So now they've got some confidence with it, and now here in this kind of in this fifth year, it's just become this amazing basketball team to watch. I mean, as you look at how this team developed, and obviously you can't do this, you know, in every situation. There's been some specific circumstances that kind of mixed into it. But, I mean, is there a better way to develop a college basketball team than kind of the process this Indiana team has gone through to grow into what it is this year?
Preferably as a fan, there I hope there's a better way because I don't want to ever have to go through that again. But, no, I think that the thing that this team has that I don't think anyone else has, and just because of the unique scenario situation they've gone through, and even the guys in last year's class, Cody and Austin Etherington, and they don't ever take winning for granted. They always play hard. Even when they don't play well, they play hard because they know that that's what it takes, and they knew that. You know, back when this was first going on, when they were first starting to break out a little bit, sort of midway through that third season, where they, you know, they were at least competitive in those games, they knew that they had to always play their hardest to have a chance to win, and that's rubbed off on everybody on the roster, and they just don't stop playing. They play very hard, and they know that if they don't, they can easily lose any game because they've felt that before. And so I think that I really think that that's what's special about this team is they don't take losing for granted or winning for granted, and they don't take losing easily because they've been through it so much, and they just want that in the past. And a lot of times when you have guys who come to college, they come from big programs where they were state champions or, you know, rarely ever lost and all that stuff. And you kind of forget how bad it is to lose and what you really need to do to win games, especially at a high level. And so it's just been incredible to see that develop. I mean, you watch them, any game, you know, they're cutting hard, they're running hard, they're setting solid screens, they're doing this and doing that. And, yeah, we can nitpick things, but this team never stops playing hard. And I think that that's a result of everything they've been through and them realizing how important that aspect of the game is.
Hey, Ryan, you just IM'd me a tweet from Dustin Doprak relaying a comment from Tom Izzo. Would you mind sharing that with the audience, please?
Izzo said after the game that Oladipo is the MVP of the Big Ten right now and that he made every single play tonight, and that somebody asked how did he get that tip in at the end, that offensive rebound, he said it was because he's got incredible heart. And I don't think there's any denying either of those answers.
No, you know, and I think as IU fans now, as we all go out and evangelize about the greatness of Victor Oladipo, which we surely will anytime that the discussion comes up about National Player of the Year, you know, everybody's going to talk about the improved shot, the athleticism, the spectacular plays.
you know, it's the heart, it's the smarts that impressed me as much as anything about Victor Oladipo. I mean, and that's some of the stuff that gets overlooked a little bit when appreciating other aspects of his game, which is what's going to happen when you have a guy that's that good. But that's what, to me, was on display tonight more than anything, just that the heart, the toughness, the grit, and just his incredible basketball intelligence and instincts, which just, you know, I mean, they impressed me more and more every game. You know, one of the reasons that I, you know, I mean, obviously this was a big game, but, you know, to me, an example of how I knew it was such a huge game is that for the past three or four games, all I've been thinking about is the Michigan State game, and I just had to go to the schedule to remember who we play next, because it's kind of been, this game has kind of been that destination game that we've been looking towards, you know, and now we, I mean, we got the win, everybody's excited, we can, you know, kind of exhale a little bit. You know, and let's look at the schedule a little bit, Andy. Let's look ahead. You know, we were all extremely worried about this gauntlet that Indiana was going to be going through, you know, kind of from February on. And, you know, we know the kind of the February struggles that the program had the first 3 years of Tom Crean's tenure and the struggles to beat really good teams on the road last year. But the program just keeps getting better. And now, you know, we're winning big games in February and beating top 10 teams on the road. And now, you know, I just looked at the last four games, and they're not so intimidating. You know, after you have a performance like this against Michigan State and like we had at Ohio State, you know, at Minnesota, I mean, the barn is always a tough place to play. Home against Iowa, home against kind of a scuffling Ohio State team, and then at a Michigan team that also doesn't look as intimidating as they did before. So, you know, whereas, you know, I was a little worried, I'm looking down this, and, I mean, I'm chalking up W's. Now, will we win all four of these games? I don't know. But it's a different feeling now, and this team has earned that confidence where you look at all these games and you say, oh, yeah, if we play, you know, 90 to 95% up to our potential, we win these games. And I think the Hoosiers have earned that with their play. Andy, as you look at the rest of the regular season schedule, what do you see as maybe the biggest potential slip-up, and do you kind of share that same confidence in this team's ability to get it done?
Well, I think, I mean, I guess I'll answer the first part, or the second part first. I think definitely I share the confidence based on, you know, these last couple of road wins. I think it was easy and probably fair to a certain extent to take a wait-and-see approach until this team really played well against good teams on the road, particularly, you know, in light of the Illinois game and everything like that. I think these last two games have shown that it is a team that can beat anybody anywhere, and so I think it's reasonable to expect that they can win any of the games that are out there. I think the challenging part of the schedule, I mean, the toughest game, obviously, is going to be at Michigan in the season finale. You know, they have a few winnable games coming up, so they've got four losses in the league right now. But they have really all their tough games left at home. So they've got, you know, Penn State on the road and Purdue on the road, but they have Illinois at home, Michigan State at home, which will be a tough game, and then IU at home. So that game could still, you know, be pretty meaningful by the time you get there. And I think the other thing to watch for with some of these other teams is they're desperate is probably not the right word, but you're always going to get somebody's best crack as the, you know, the number one team, which IU will certainly stay without another game until next week. But Minnesota hasn't been playing all that well of late. They're not in danger of missing the tournament by any means, but could certainly use another big win at home, and you'll have an amped up crowd there for, you know, a team that has shown some ability this season to play well. Iowa, that's going to be a huge game for their tournament chances. I think there's still a chance that they play their way in, but they don't have a lot of tough games left other than the IU one, so that's obviously going to be the biggest game left on their schedule. Ohio State really doesn't have a ton of great stuff on their resume at this point, although, you know, I think they're continuing to struggle to find scoring as they did against Wisconsin. And then you got Michigan. So I don't think any of the games will be easy, but I do think it's fair to believe that IU can win all four of them and take the Big Ten title. So I think it should be some exciting games on the stretch, but certainly one the Hoosiers should enter with some confidence. I think probably after a pretty emotional victory like tonight, it probably isn't the worst thing in the world to have a little bit of extra time off to rest and kind of recover and refocus heading into the Minnesota game next week.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, Ryan, I think, you know, between the three of us, Andy, you know, probably took the most pragmatic approach heading into the Michigan State game. And I think, you know, you and I were, you know, I guess a little bit more ready to take that leap of faith that Indiana could go into the Breslin Center and get the W. You know, as you look now at this team, how big of an impact does tonight's win have on your confidence? I mean, is it just, do you kind of look at it as, okay, this is what I thought was going to happen, or does this kind of take the team the next step up in your eyes, just in terms of your confidence in going down the stretch?
Well, it isn't that they won. It's how they won that gives me confidence. I mean, you know, to lose the lead late like that, and go on a 9-1 run to close the game, that's what gives me confidence going forward, is that it wasn't just a breeze. It wasn't, you know, I felt like the first time they played Michigan State, they really kind of just won that game. You know, from start to finish, they led and won that game. And tonight was different. They had the lead and gave it up. And it was about, you know, it was about like a 5-point lead the whole game, pretty much, and then gave it up late and then bounced right back. And so that's what makes me confident going down the stretch. Obviously, you know, anytime you play at Minnesota, it is absolutely a crapshoot. That gym is one of the things where I think that if it was my gym, I would absolutely love it, but I hate watching my team play there. I think when I watch two teams play there and Indiana's not involved, I love watching games, you know, on television there. But, I mean, it's one of those things where there are so many little quirks about the court and the hoops and all this stuff that you never know what's going to happen. So I'm never confident going into Minnesota. I'll probably be less confident going into Minnesota than I was going into Michigan State, just because that place is wacky and crazy stuff happens. But yeah, the rest of the way, I mean, I think they're on par with everybody. I mean, that at Michigan game to end the season, that's the only one that really looms for me that's going to get me seriously worried.
All right. Wow, what a win. I'm, you know, just looking over this box score, it's just, you know, it's great. This was just a wonderful victory. Andy, you know, just pointed out, you know, you just looking at some of the other stats that jump off the page, 10 turnovers. You know, Andy, that's been a big problem for this team. How was Indiana able to limit the turnovers tonight? You know, in a hostile environment, I mean, Indiana's turned the ball over a lot more against far worse defensive teams and in far more friendly environments, and yet they come in tonight and only turn the ball over 10 times. What do you think accounted for that?
Well, I think the one thing I don't remember any of tonight. Actually, well, I guess if you count Watford's, then maybe you have that. But they didn't have charges, so they were aggressive at trying to go to the basket, but they didn't get themselves in positions to you know, create offensive fouls, which has been a little bit of an issue, you know, particularly with Zeller in that in these last couple of games, has picked up a couple offensive fouls trying to go to the basket. So I thought that was one thing, and you know, really thought they did a good job of, you know, if they really tried to pressure Yogi, then Holes was bringing up the floor. I just felt like they just really took care of the basketball. I mean, Michigan State doesn't force turnovers at a high rate, but that was definitely one thing that I was worried about, because those are the kinds of things that really lead to, you know, fast break points and dunks and all the things that get everybody riled up from the crowd. And I think I saw something where Kareen on the postgame show said the second chance points were even, which was pretty critical and really something that did IU in that Illinois game. So, you know, I thought it was just a good team effort of you know, you didn't see the unforced errors. You didn't see, you know, charges and things like that. And I think those are the things that have really kind of plagued IU during that time. I mean, you're going to make turnovers in a game. You're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have that. But I thought, you know, those were the kinds of things that were able to stem the tide. If Michigan State had a run, it didn't get extended because IU made a turnover and contributed to it. You know, they took good care of the ball, got into the offense, and were able to, you know, really in all but the very last case down the stretch, not let the lead get over a point. I think Michigan State getting up to a 4-point lead there at the end was pretty sure the biggest lead they had the entire game, never really getting it over a point. I thought a lot of that was, this is an efficient offense, and as long as they don't turn the ball over more often than that, they're going to get quality shots, and even if those don't go in, you know, they'll start to, and I think that's something they have to focus on going forward, because it's hard to think that somebody's really going to be able to slow them down enough offensively. It's one of those things where, you know, maybe your worst enemy is yourself, and the only way you really slow yourself down is to just waste possessions and give up the ball.
Yeah, the only guy in our top six that really didn't have a good game tonight, I thought, was Will Sheehy. Ryan, I want to get your thoughts on it. You know, just it kind of looked to me like Will just struggled to get in a rhythm. You know, he picked up the, you know, 2,000 in 10 seconds early on, you know, that just kind of, you know, and had to leave the game pretty quickly. You know, I thought he kind of went back to some of the questionable shot making. I don't recall really a good basket cut from him tonight. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And that was, you know, one of the guys that we pointed out as a key after the Purdue game. You know, when he was so great, 22 points, 9 for 9. We really thought he would be a key tonight, and yet he really didn't do a whole lot. 2 points, 3 boards, 1 assist. You know, just didn't really get in the flow, and yet Indiana was still able to win despite that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I've come to expect it from Sheehy. It seems like when he has a great game, he almost forgets what got him there. and he just starts doing stupid stuff. I mean, tonight he had the offensive foul, which he was getting, you know, manhandled as he was driving, but he did push off. And a lot of times officials see the second guy, you know, they don't see the first thing. And then he walks back on defense, talking to the official the entire time, and then immediately bumps a guy 25 feet from the hoop and gets a second foul right there. And if you're talking to the official and you bump into a guy, you're going to get called for a foul, you know, and there's no use arguing it. I mean, and I know that because I used to do that. And it's stupid. It's just something that, you know, you've got to be smarter than that. I was in high school. That's the difference. And then it seemed like every time after that he was trying to prove something, he got the ball, and it was like every time he touched the ball, he had to shoot. And it wasn't necessarily he just fire up a shot. Sometimes he'd take a dribble and fire up a shot, but they were still early in the shot clock, out of rhythm with the offense, and it was like the four other guys on the floor were on a completely different page, cutting, passing, trying to reverse the ball, and it would get to Shiki, and he'd just shoot. And that's a problem, and he needs to realize, and I don't think Will's a selfish player, but sometimes I think he plays selfishly. And I don't think it's – I think it's one of those things where if you were to, you know, put him on a lie detector test, he thinks he's doing what's best for the team, but it's not what's best for the team at that point. So he's just got to be more even keel and more, you know, just get rid of these peaks and valleys and just be more, you know, even with his play and smart. I mean, the big thing is just being smarter. You know, at the end, he shouldn't have been in. I mean, I realized that that was a horrible call when they called the foul on the three-pointer at the end that gave three free throws to Gary Harris. It was a terrible call. I don't think he did anything wrong, but he's also got to be smart enough not to be close enough where that, you know, I mean, you can defend without getting close enough where the guy's touching you. And you can get in the guy's face without letting him jump up into you and get a bad call like that. He kind of put himself in a situation where he allowed the call to be made. And so, you know, it's stuff like that. You've just got to be smarter than that. I don't blame him for that foul call. It was a terrible, terrible call. But, you know, he's just got to, in general, be smarter and play smarter. And it's not a question of effort. It's just being smart.
I'll tell you what, time flies when you're having fun. I just looked down at the clock, and we're 42 and a half minutes into the show already, and it seems like we wouldn't have been talking for about 10 minutes. But you know what? That's what happens when you break a streak that's been going since 1991 and when you beat the number 4 team in the country in their building and grasp firm control of the Big Ten. All of those things, which Indiana did tonight. And heck, who knows, Victor Oladipo may have, we all think he's already the National Player of the Year, but he may have vaulted himself in terms of the national discussion up there as well, which would be great to see. So with that said, let's get to some final thoughts, which I'm sure will be a happy and joyous occasion. Andy, you are more than welcome to rail on Derek Nix if you'd like in your final thoughts. I'll leave that up to you, and you can lead us off.
All right. Well, I don't want to ruin it too much, but I did find it interesting that, so regardless of the below-the-belt shot, just thought for somebody to talk such a big game about who was overrated and everything else. I mean, he made a couple of good plays down the stretch. I'll give him credit for that. But I thought for most of the game, he was a complete no-show. And I guess there's something to be said for letting your play be the talking. So I'll leave it at that. You know, as far as the other thing, you know, that kind of stood out to me, you know, the one thing that I think, you know, Michigan got a little bit rattled early last week, got off to a bit of a slow start and really let the crowd get into the game and stay in the game. I thought that IU's play at the beginning of the game and really throughout when Michigan State got a lead or got close always seemed to be somebody and not always the same guy that stepped up and made a shot and kind of quieted that down. And I thought, you know, that was something that stood out for me. The crowd was great and was loud at times, but didn't feel like they had a huge impact on the game in the way that I feared that they might, you know, heading into it. So I thought that speaks a lot to the maturity of the team. And I think that, you know, watching the beginning of that game last week, I mean, Michigan State really came out and just pressured Michigan all over the floor, really extended their defense, and I didn't see them do the same thing against IU tonight. I think that speaks a lot to the different weapons that IU has and maybe the fact that they felt like against Michigan, I'm going to make somebody besides, you know, Trey Burke or Hardaway beat me, and I'm going to just, you know, pressure these guys off the floor. And it didn't seem like something that they didn't do, whether they wanted to or not tonight, I'm not really sure, but definitely thought it was, you know, really great maturity by IU, both at the beginning of the game and the beginning of the second half, to really stem the tide, not fall behind, not let Michigan State get on a big run. And I'm not sure that they really had any significant runs in the game where they scored more than, you know, 5-6 points in a row. And I think that was, what was really important, that it never became a game of runs really for either team. And to a certain extent, felt like IU was, you know, didn't know if they would win, but certainly felt like the game was in their grasp the entire game. At no point did it feel like it had gotten away from them. I think that's pretty tough to say for a team, no matter how good they are, stepping into a difficult road environment in a game that means a lot in the conference race, and for one that really, you know, could have swung things in Michigan State's direction. So I think probably the biggest run of the game was the one that IU went on to end it, and that was what decided it, and certainly a fantastic game all around from pretty much everybody that stepped on the floor. I think you can point to some contribution that they made, and really just an amazing and exciting win, and I look forward to watching the replay of it repeatedly when it's shown on the Big Ten Network or ESPN or wherever. I've been flipping around to catch halftime of all the games that have gone after it so that I could catch the highlights on that already. So it gives us something to look forward to for the rest of the week.
Absolutely. Well said, Andy. All right, Ryan.
There's some big sort of record things that I want to point out, and it's against the AP top 25, or against the top 25 in general this year, Indiana's 5-0. Against the top 10, they're 4-0. At home, they're 16-1, and on the road, they're 5-1. It's incredible that such a small thing, you know, a road win, really changes your perception of the team, and it seems like that, you know, early on in the season when they got a road win over Iowa and then Penn State, it was like, okay, well, that's Iowa and Penn State. And then Northwestern, it's like, okay, well, that's Iowa, Penn State, Northwestern. Then you beat Purdue. Then you have that heartbreaker against Illinois. But clearly they came out on fire in that game, and they weren't intimidated by the road, and then just blew it. Then you went at Ohio State. Now you went at Michigan State. I mean, it's starting to get to the point where can this IU team win anywhere? And that's where you got to start thinking, okay, I realize we want to win the Big Ten, but at what point are you going to start looking long term here? I mean, can they go into any situation, in any scenario, any crowd, and win games? And it's starting to look like this team can, and this team is just built to do that, and it doesn't bother them. And it's just so different than we've seen in the past, maybe even in the past 10, 15 years at Indiana, that this team is willing to go anywhere and play its best. And put it on the line and just go with it. And, you know, they roll with everything. They've lost three games this year by a total of, I think it's 9 points they've lost three games by. So that's just, I mean, it's incredible. It really is incredible watching the transformation of this program and this team. And we're starting to talk about a team that's better, not just in the last few years, but then in a long time at Indiana. We haven't seen this. So really just encouraging to see everything they're doing. Every game, I feel like we say this about them. They're just like more and more impressed every time.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not be? I mean, it's clear that this is by far, you know, the best Indiana team overall since that 92-93 team. You know, I mean, obviously the 2002 team got hot late and went to the championship game. But this team, like you said, I mean, they can go into any environment and win. And, you know, you look at that Illinois game. Indiana played well for most of the game. They have those horrific 5 minutes. But, you know, a sign of a mature team is your ability to bounce back from tough moments like that. And Indiana hasn't played a bad minute of basketball since. I mean, you want to nitpick, you know, the first 10 minutes of that Nebraska game, which weren't great. But, I mean, you know, they ended up winning that game by 30 points, you know. But that includes two road wins against Ohio State and Michigan State and just absolutely drilling Purdue. You know, I mean, talk about, you know, taking a negative and turning it into a positive. I mean, you know, since that moment where Illinois got that layup to win the game, Indiana has just been on another level, and they have clearly been head and shoulders above any other team in college basketball. You know, you can talk about schools like Miami, but they're playing in the ACC. I mean, Indiana's doing this in the Big Ten, which is playing as well as a conference as we've seen any conference, you know, play in the last few years. And, you know, to me, you know, as I kind of, you know, start to step a little bit away from this Michigan State game and think about this team in context, that's what keeps coming back to me is that 92-93 team, which is, you know, my favorite team in the history of sports since I've been watching, you know, because I was in Assembly Hall for those games. And you just remember how resilient that team was and how they just always found a way to win, you know, whether it was that, you know, that double overtime victory against Penn State, you know, where Greg Graham gets fouled and goes to the line to send it into overtime. And, you know, just all all the games that team found a way to win. I mean, shoot, they won 17 out of 18 of them. So, you know, this Indiana team won't quite be able to do that. But that was just such a complete team, and this is such a complete team. And, you know, and I want to end the show the way we started it, which is lauding Victor Oladipo. He was the player of the game tonight. You know, and you start reading some of Tom Crean's comments in the postgame that the guys were tweeting out. You know, and he said Victor wasn't 100% tonight. You know, he wasn't totally himself. And I think there were a few times you could see that. You know, and it looked like, you know, Victor, you know, had to pick his spots a little bit. But, man, did he do it, you know. And as Tom Crean said, you know, he may not have been totally himself from a health perspective, but he just picked up toughness more and picked up the mental aspect of the game more, you know. And that's what we're seeing from Victor Oladipo, the guy that can beat you in so many ways. And just, you know, he leads this program with his ability, with his talent, but most of all with his toughness and just with his intelligence. And he is such a superb player and a superb kid, and it's so fun watching him. You know, and nights like tonight are just such a showcase for him individually, for the team as a whole, and for the program, you know. And that's the other guy that we haven't even talked about tonight, but Tom Crean, you know, to be able to go into, you know, his mentor's house, Tom Izzo, and come away with the victory. You know, and I thought Crean coached a great game. I mean, you know, I questioned and some other people questioned there late in the game. There was a stretch where he took Victor out. You know, Michigan State went on a 4-0 run. And maybe that's why. You know, maybe he knew that Victor needed that rest because he wasn't 100%, and he wanted him in there for that final furious 2.5 minutes. And Victor made play after play. So, you know, I don't think you can really second guess that. I thought, you know, Crean with his substitutions, with his game plan, having the team ready to play, he was brilliant again. And so was this team. And just what a win for Indiana. Now 24-3, 12-12 in the conference. Clearly with the upper hand going down the stretch. And, you know, that was goal number one for this program coming in, win the Big Ten. Obviously the path to a national championship starts there. And, you know, right now Indiana's put itself in position to do that. Now they just have to take care of business these last four games, and we'll see what they can do. But a great win tonight. Thank you to everybody who listened to the show. This has been a fun one. This is one of the more enjoyable shows we've had. You know, I mean, obviously there's been a lot of wins this year, but like I said earlier, this one was just particularly satisfying because of the opponent, because of the respect we all have for Michigan State and for that venue. And we know how big of a deal it was for Indiana to go in there and get that victory. And now we get to go into another venue that we all respect, but it's more of a hateful respect, as Ryan alluded to earlier, and that's the Barn. And that game is next week. We get to wait all the way until next Tuesday when Indiana faces Minnesota at 7 o'clock, and we will, of course, be here for another episode of the Assembly Call, another episode that we all expect to be victorious, especially after Indiana's last two road games against Ohio State and Michigan State went so well. Let's make it 3 in a row against the Gophers. That game is at 7 o'clock Eastern time. We'll be here right afterwards. Until then, everybody, enjoy your weekend off from Indiana basketball. And, you know, everybody get rested up and relaxed, because it's going to be a heck of an exciting finish for this program this year. Okay. Thanks again for listening. We will talk to you all next Tuesday.